College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, Kyle Quinn in for Hugh today. And joining us right now in studio is Elliott Shore Park, sponsored, of course, by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the 50. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliott, welcome back.
Man, it's good to be back. This is my first time on the air since I've been back. So excited to obviously debate Jalen.
Well, that's what we do around
here. I mean, so excited to get into it.
So you didn't miss anything because that's where you left, and then we're back and we're doing the same thing.
So I was in Wales, London, Luxembourg, and Portugal. And each stop, I'm just checking Twitter, seeing what people are saying about Jalen.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's going on.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you are.
So we have a lot to get to here. It is quarter century week. We'll get to that. We want to get your take on the swing off that ended the home run derby. But I want to start here. And I didn't even tell you I was going to go here, but it's on your mind anyway. So where are you on the lists that are coming out with Jalen? I heard you were on the morning show yesterday. You hopped on with them and you talked about. So the latest one is ESPN has him at ninth, right? So they had him at ninth, and that was this one is, to me, the most interesting list because it's the coaches, executive scouts. It's not just like some guy on some network making a list. This is, you know, people's real opinion about how they evaluate the quarterbacks. What did you make of him being ninth?
So I would have him higher. I think when you're making a list, including Jalen Hurts, I think he either has to be second or fifth. If you want to do second, because he has a Super Bowl and the other three quarterbacks don't, the Lamar, Joe Burrow, and Josh Allen, then I think you put him second. Or if you just want to do off of, like, pure talent, I think he's fifth, because I think those four are probably better, but he has a better resume. Ninth, to me, makes no sense, because he does have something Jared Goff doesn't have. He has lots of things Justin Herbert don't have. He belongs ahead of them when you are ranking in totality, when you are taking into account talent and resume. Jalen belongs ahead of those guys. But I also think we need to take a step back as a city, as a media, as a fan group, and realize that if there was a draft of quarterbacks, that's probably how it would look. Mm-hmm. Maybe he goes ahead of Goff. Maybe there's one or two differences. But he's not going top five. Jalen would not go top five. And Herbert would be drafted ahead of him. That's wrong, in my opinion. Like, I wouldn't do it, but that is what would happen.
Do you make anything of the fact that if you look at lists locally, a lot of it's Jalen Hurts. I mean, you know, like you said, even up to the two range.
Yeah,
like Hugh Douglas.
But then nationally, it's more 6 to 9 range. Not only nationally, but like executives, coaches, scouts, people who are paid to make these kind of decisions.
So it's interesting you bring that up, because I think how you're framing it is not completely wrong, which is locally, maybe we're favoring Jalen Hurts, right? But I think the flip side of that, and what I think what is more accurate is, we have a better view of what happens with Jalen. Mm-hmm. They don't watch Jalen every week. They see the highlight plays, which, let's be honest, with Jalen and the Eagles are mostly running plays, right? He has some really nice throws occasionally, but I think that for the most part, if you're just a national person watching the Eagles, you're seeing Saquon, you're seeing the defense, right?
Push.
Not seeing it as much. But the other thing that I don't think Jalen gets enough credit for nationally is the perception that he walked into a great situation. Mm. We were all here in 2020, how ugly that was for him. We were also all here in 2021 when we were saying all he has is Devontae, and that's it. He didn't really have anybody else. So while Jalen didn't trade for AJ and he didn't draft Devontae, he was here before those guys, and the Eagles were not a good team until Jalen Hurts became their starting quarterback. So I do think you're right. We probably favor him a little locally, but I think that's because we have a more informed opinion of his importance to the team.
So I was thinking about the players that were listed ahead of him on that ESPN list. I think the top four we all understand, right? They've been doing it for is either as long or longer in terms of Allen and Mahomes and Lamar. But the other guys ahead of him, the one that's the most interesting to me is Jaden Daniels, right? Because he came in the same year as Herbert, and Jalen's accomplished more, right? Herbert might be more talented. Jalen's accomplished more. I get that.
Yeah.
Goff, he's accomplished more, and Goff's older.
More than Daniels.
No, Jalen's accomplished more than Goff.
Oh,
he won the
Super Bowl. Agreed.
And Goff's older than him. I think Jalen should be ahead of Goff right now.
Agreed.
Stafford's accomplished more, but he's way older. Mm-hmm. So that one is kind of a different realm. What do you make of the Jaden Daniels one? Because that is the most interesting one to me. Because if the scouts and executives are right, then we have a disadvantage in the division at quarterback for a long time. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, so there's a lot with Jaden Daniels. First is, let's see him do it again. We saw Jalen have a great 2022, stepped back in 2023,
yep.
readjusted, and then however you want to define his play last year, it was certainly better than it was in 2023. And he won the Super Bowl, so clearly he rebounded from that. This time last year, C.J. Stroud, I would guess, was pretty high on some of these lists.
He was probably top 10 in most lists.
Yeah, yeah. And he had a down year. Now, it doesn't mean I'm out on C.J. Stroud. I think he's awesome and he'll be good, but he had a down year. Jaden Daniels, it's about can he do it next year? But here's the other thing. I'm pretty sure that Jalen is the only quarterback on that list that wasn't a first-round pick. And I would even go as high as say
of the top nine, yeah, he was. He was.
Well, the 10th was Baker, isn't it?
10th was Baker. Yeah,
yeah, he was the number one pick. So I even think they were all top half of the first round off the top of my head.
Except Lamar, who was the final pick.
You're right. Lamar would be the only one.
Yeah, but I think you're right on that too.
So I do think that the real reason guys like Goff and Herbert go ahead of him is because the most important thing that can happen in a player to a player's career at some point is where he is drafted. It impacts the opportunity you get. It impacts whether you're viewed as having upside. Look at Azeez Ojulari. One of the main things people bring up when we talk about why we're excited about him
is high pick.
Former first round pick, right? When they signed someone that maybe was on a practice squad. Well, he was a former third round pick, so maybe that's a steal. That's how people view it. What Jalen has had to fight against that guys like Goff, Herbert, and now Jaden Daniels also is he was not a high pick. So if if Jalen was drafted where Jaden Daniels was, I think he'd be ranked ahead of him.
Yeah.
But because he wasn't, Jaden Daniels is viewed as having a higher upside than Jalen is.
So I think it's probably like the best point on this whole thing is that these execs, coaches, scouts, whatever, they're just like us and that they want to have the right take.
Yeah.
Like this is just them.
Well, and they scout these guys.
You're right, exactly. Yeah. Like that's them having a take is that this guy is better than this guy.
Right.
This guy was drafted in the second
round.
So
their take for some of them, right? Because they're the reason that these guys got drafted.
Correct.
When they did.
So this is sort of just them feeding into the fact like this take that I had was right. So it sounds to me like you're a little bit hesitant, kind of like I am, to jump fully in like head first to the Jaden Daniels thing.
No, I think Jaden Daniels is awesome. If I was starting a team with a quarterback, he would be high on my list.
Okay.
But I think there's two different things. There's that, and there's what will he be next
year. Right, so you want to see him do it again, but like I guess,
don't think the Eagles are at a disadvantage of quarterback in the division,
okay.
If that
just like
sense.
Without knowing, though, just besides the whole quarterback thing, do you view Washington as the biggest threat to the Eagles in the NFC in general?
I mean, I'm kind of down on Washington. I do think, like, let's see him do it again. And they have the oldest team in the NFL.
I was surprised to see
that. Debo's old, Zach Ertz is old, even
Bobby Wagner.
And they stayed healthy last year, those guys.
And yeah, exactly. And now let's see if Cliff Kingsbury's offense can do it again, mm-hmm. right? But that being said, I mean, if you look around the NFC, the Lions have major questions with two new coordinators. Mm-hmm. We'll see how they are in general. The Packers, I think, are a team we're probably underrating a little. They were good last year. Jordan Love missed time. It wouldn't shock me if at the end of the year, the Eagles and Packers are fighting for that top seed. The Vikings, I like J.J. McCarthy, but he's a rookie quarterback. If they even go with him, maybe they start. I'm blanking on who they signed. But they signed someone, didn't they?
They did.
The Vikings, a quarterback?
I thought they gave... Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Well, they had Daniel Jones, and then he left for the Colts.
Right. But regardless...
I mean, they have to have someone as his backup.
Well, they have Sam Howell.
No. So yeah,
they traded for Sam Howell. They have a quarterback question. Yeah.
So I guess you would have to say Washington, but I think the real takeaway looking around the conference is I think the Eagles are clearly the top dog.
I noticed you didn't mention the Cowboys. You're just totally dismissing them next season.
I think the Cowboys will be who they normally are with Dak. They'll probably win 9 or 10 games. I'm not super high on the head coach hire. I don't like promoting from within, but I don't view them as legitimate contender. But that being said, I don't think they'll win 5 games either. I think they will be a double digit ish wish team.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm lower on them than you are. I think they're going to win 7 or 8 games.
Well, Dak always wins when he plays in the regular season.
But the NFC's better than it used to. Like, two of those wins were the Commanders.
Right.
Like, they just beat up.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, Dak's record against the Commanders and the Giants is unreal.
I think it's like
20-2, like, in his career. He racks up wins against those teams. And the Giants are what they are. They're still the worst team in the division. Well, maybe a little better.
We were told they'd be Super Bowl champions.
Well,
yesterday.
We had a call yesterday who said that. But yeah. I will say, I'm in on Jackson Dart. You're in on Jackson Dart.
Yeah, I think Jackson Dart. Star quality.
Well, then is this the best
franchise swag?
Well, is this the best the NFC East has been a quarterback in a long time? If you're right, that's 4 quarterbacks that are good.
Yeah, no, I think I don't think Brian Daboll is a good coach, so that's going to hurt him. But I think Yeah, the Giants will be more competent. I mean, we're skipping over Russell Wilson. He will bring bring a level of competence they didn't have there.
Well, they had DeVito for
I just think we're so quick to want to bury the Cowboys when they have one bad season. When we've seen
I agree with you.
Year after year, they come back, and when Dak's healthy, they win. And think about it: the schedules in this division, we're all playing a very tough schedule. Now the Cowboys have a third place version of that schedule, The winner of this division, and I know we're all high off the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, winning 14 games. We could win 11 games next year, and that could be the division winner. But the team right behind us could be a 10-win team, a 9-win team. Like, that's close.
I agree with the premise what you're saying, but it's important to note that under Nick and Jalen in the last 3 years, they have won, 14 games, 11 games, and 14 games. Yeah. And they could have had more wins each of those seasons. It took sitting people to get the 14 wins.
Yeah.
But then the 11 wins they had an epic collapse. Yeah. So barring something dramatic, I think you will see the Eagles win 11 or 12.
I think just knowing what we know now about the schedule, at least, it's the toughest schedule that I think they've had on paper going into a season.
So if you guys are right about Dallas and or the Giants, where's the breather?
No, you're right. It's the Raiders is an easy game. There's not many get-right weeks.
If we say Dallas and New York are a little bit better than they have been in the recent past.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The only breather I see is the Raiders. I mean, maybe, are the Bears still bad? I don't know.
I think the Bears are not an easy team.
Well, then there's one breather in 17 games.
I agree. It's a very tough schedule. Yeah. But they've had, even in 2023, the gauntlet, that's a difference, I think, between the schedule in 23 and the schedule in 25.
It was all packed that
year. In 23, they took a hit and they couldn't get up.
Yeah.
While I agree there's not a ton of catch your breath moments, there's also not a 4-game stretch where you look and go, these are all going to be super difficult.
Probably not. All right, Elliot's in with us today. All right, before we get to the list, we'll end with the list. Let's your take on what we started the show with today, which was last night, All-Star game. You know, the NL's up big, and then they blow the lead, and then they, instead of extra innings, they have a swing-off, which they put that rule in a few years ago, but I think everyone forgot because we haven't had extra innings in an All-Star game. And then Kyle Schwarber ends up winning it. He gets the MVP. Elliot, would you be open to real games ending with a swing-off as opposed to the way we do extra innings now?
So first, I think it's time that we all open our mind to the fact that Kyle Schwarber is a better Philly than Bryce Harper. Just like for their careers in Philadelphia, right?
Well, he's the star of
the
team.
He's a bigger star right now.
Harper has bedlam at the bank, without question. But outside of that, I think it's very, very close. So regardless, as someone that is a big fan of the best sport in the world, soccer, that ends with penalty shootouts, the home run swing would be phenomenal. It would be the most exciting thing to happen. If you are just at home on a random summer night and let's say you're not tuned into the Phils, but you hear they're going to a home run swing off, your friends would be texting you. You would be turning on WIP to listen to it. It would be so much more exciting than the watered down extra innings they do now.
I think the one thing you said there that I totally agree with is it would cause a buzz to where you would get messages from your friends like, you see what's going on? They're going to the swing off. You would if you weren't locked in, you're going to get that like, hey, they're going to. In fact, I could see MLB sending out notifications like Yankees, Dodgers heading to a swing off, Cubs, Red Sox heading to a swing off. I think it would just add buzz to baseball.
The other thing, they don't
do that for the zombie runner. Who cares?
The other thing it would do that was the best thing that could happen to the sport is if you think about basketball and football, when the game is on the line, you control who is up there and it creates moments. If we had a home run swing off in extra innings, it would give us Bryce Harper clutch moments, Kyle Schwarber clutch moments, and then across the league, Ohtani big moments. So ultimately what I want to see in sports is the best players under pressure in the biggest moments, and that's what this would give you. Now, we could talk about the postseason. I understand maybe you do it different then. But regular season, getting Schwarber or Harper at the plate with imagine Friday night, Citizens Bank Park, they're playing the Mets. It's a huge game. It goes to extras. And Bryce Harper steps to the plate for the swing off.
Well, think about the other side. Like, they have Lindor and Soto and Alonso. Right. And the Phillies are sending up Harper and Schwarber and, I guess, Castellanos.
And there's strategy to it. Like, who do you send up? So right now,
the 10th inning with.
I like
then,
that.
Then you get to go with Harper, Schwarber, whoever, like the meat of your lineup, and then it's still pitcher versus the batter, and you have a defense out there, and you might even have a guy on
second.
What
if you just abandon the lineup? It's just Harper goes, then he can pick. Then he picks Schwarber, then he picks Castellanos.
They threw that out a few months ago. Then the idea of the golden rule, was a story.
Yeah, the golden bat.
The golden at-bat, right? At one point in the game, you get to pick whoever you want to just go up to the plate.
That at least looks more like baseball to me.
Yeah, and there's some strategy.
It's just not baseball. I'm sorry. But I hate to sound like the old guy. I know it's
fun. What's more baseball than a home run?
Well, a lot of things.
I think that's when you think of baseball, you think of home run.
A home run off some dude that's throwing batting practice? Those guys are like 70 years old out there.
That's the only part where I would agree with you. That the fact that, the Phillies would send their own guy up, I assume, right? To pitch.
Well,
The best thing about sports is, and now I'm really this guy. I sound like Jolly right now. It's competition, though.
You are old.
That's not real competition.
But they did compete, and they ended in a tie.
Yeah, but in such a lame way. Like, if you want to end a Little League game that way, that's fine. But, like, what's the point of having pitchers if they're just useless after the ninth inning?
I just keep going back to, we already have destroyed extra innings. They have runner.
It's not that destroyed, though. Like, there is a massive difference between a guy starting the inning on second and just abandoning everybody on the field and having them swing home runs off of a 50-mile-an-hour
pitch. But the runner on second is designed just to end the game quickly. They just want people to score quickly.
But also, just remove the competition part of it. What would you rather see? Like, you, Kyle. If you're at a Phillies game, which would you enjoy
more? I would rather
more?
See baseball. I actually love when games go to extra innings. It's free baseball. Like, I like watching the sport. Like, the home runs are great.
I just think getting the chance to see the best players have to win games is worth giving that up for.
But I also think the novelty of it wears off a little bit because it was great to see it last night in the All-Star game. I loved it. The game didn't matter. But I made this point earlier, and I wonder if people would change their tune a little bit on this whole thing because we've had a few calls today. People excited about the idea of maybe adding this to a real game. What if that was for home field advantage last night? And like, I feel like
then Schwarber gave the Phillies home field advantage in the World Series.
No, but so people around here locally are like, "Wow, that's great." But like, I'm just picturing myself walking in here the day after one of those home run derby things, and I'm thinking, "Man, like our best bullpen guys were available after the ninth inning. We didn't even get to use them." Like, and all of a sudden we have Kyle Schwarber, Max Weenie Kepler, Alec Bohm up there.
You are getting your best hitters up, though.
Yeah, maybe,
sure.
So you're
right that you're not utilizing the bullpen, but you are using your best
hitters. But I could be coming in here the next day saying, like, man, if only that were a normal way to end a baseball game, I would have felt like we had a better chance in this.
Yeah,
like,
maybe. I get that. I mean, we're probably going to come in here anyway and say Topper's a moron for not bunting the runner over.
Right.
And I mean, it's just it's the same thing, just in a different way. We get
they
upset.
Can't do that either, by the way.
Well, I know they can't do that. All right, Elliot, while we have you, before we end our segment here. So it's top five quarter century week, right? Top five athletes in Philadelphia the last quarter century, which is a challenging list to make.
And it's incredibly hard.
It really. So I just keep realizing as I see the votes come in, someone great will be left off. It's just there's too many, right? There's too many great ones. Elliot, you put out your different lists with different sports. But we need while you're with us today, because we're doing a different team each day, right? Uh-huh. Yesterday we went over the Eagles, and we're going to get to the Phillies tomorrow. But we need your Sixers list, because I saw it yesterday, and I just kept shaking my head. Not that I was really upset at you. It was more the Sixers I was upset at, that this is what it came down to. Give us your top five Sixers last 25 years.
So the Sixers, it was actually embarrassing how hard it was up with five players. So I think there's two obvious ones, which is Allen Iverson and Joel Embiid.
Yes.
They're clearly on it. Then it is Ben Simmons and Andre Iguodala. Just in terms of accomplishments and players that played at a high level, Ben Simmons was Rookie of the Year. They won a ton of games with him. He was one of the top, 25-ish players in the league at one point, probably. You could argue maybe even a little higher. He gets on the list. And then for the fifth one, I put Tyrese Maxey just because he's an all-star. You know, he's had big playoff moments. I briefly thought about Mutombo, Aaron McKee, George Lynch. Like, you could make arguments for those guys, but I think Maxey's better than them, so that would be my five. But it's not an impressive five at all.
Maxey was the one that was on the cusp for you and not Ben Simmons?
Well, Ben Simmons was easier. Definitely on it.
No, it can't be.
It
can't be.
I'm thinking about banning him from everybody's list.
Now, you cannot like him. I understand that.
Yeah, I can't stand him.
But no, I get that. Now, I do think his time here has aged better than it did at the time. He's probably going to end up being the best teammate Joel has ever had and probably the most successful teammate they'll have had together.
What a disaster.
It just is what it is. Well, we can say it's not enough.
No, Maxey's going to end up his best teammate.
Hold on.
Maxey.
Well, but Embiid will only end up playing with 1 year of legit
Maxey. Well, that's Embiid's health issues.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
By successful teammate, you mean the guy who had the most success with Joel Embiid? Or like the best?
Like, okay. Now, James Harden, I think played Harden at a higher level.
And Jimmy Butler, too.
Yeah, I agree. But in terms of longevity, and he won an award. Like, he won Rookie of the Year.
I mean, who cares?
Okay, well, Tyrese Maxey didn't win it. James Harden didn't win anything here. Jimmy Butler didn't win anything here.
I know, but Rookie of the Year?
He was an All-Star multiple times.
Now, All-Star, that hits in the NBA.
Hold on. But don't dismiss Rookie of the Year. That's a legitimate award.
Michael Carter Williams won Rookie of the Year.
And Michael Carter Williams was awesome that year.
But that year.
But it also depends on your rookie class. Some years, there's great players, and they're off to a good start. Some years, like, you're the guy.
Now, he does have a little bit of an asterisk on his, because he wasn't
he's not an actual rookie.
Yeah. All right, well, you tell me three Sixers that belong on it over him.
I had a few.
All right, I'll give you mine. Kyle, I'll give you his. My five were Iverson and Embiid, obviously.
Yes.
I thought Iguodala was the lock third.
Yeah, I'm good with Iggy.
Okay, then four and five. I also put Tyrese Maxey on. I was with you. Now, I didn't know what to do, but I feel like Max has had enough moments, and he's going to continue to be here, which I think matters long term.
Drafted here, matters.
The fifth one I put on is Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday made an All-Star game as a Sixer.
Yeah, but what did Drew... See, here's my thing with Iguodala and Drew to an extent. What are we remembering them for? The one series
they got as far as Ben and Joel.
But let's be honest, they were not nearly as good, right? They were not nearly as good, those teams, as these Sixers teams were. And they only got out of the first round because Derrick Rose got hurt, unfortunately. That's the only reason they got out.
The Sixers beat the Raptors to get out of the first round, and the Wizards.
They still beat, and they finished higher to play those worst teams.
I know, but
the Sixers with Joel and Ben were way better than they were with Iguodala and Drew Holiday, and it's not even close.
They went as far.
I know, but we know that they were better teams.
They had better chances.
They had way better chances. They were a top four seed consistently. They were, I think, the number one seed.
We're mad at them because they squandered the big opportunities that they put themselves in positions to have. Now,
Drew Holiday over Ben Simmons.
Drew Holiday's most memorable thing with the Sixers is getting traded.
It's fine.
Okay, well, at least Ben's memories are on the court.
Well, Ben's biggest memory with the Sixers is probably refusing to dunk and being a catalyst for losing that series against the 8-seed Hawks.
All right, Kyle, you're five.
All right, my five Sixers: Iverson, Embiid, Maxey, Iguodala, and I was considering just putting Redacted in the fifth spot.
Honestly, I almost put Larry Brown.
So, because I'm not putting Ben Simmons. I thought about Mutombo. Defensive player of the year, but he was only here for really half a year.
Yeah.
But again, was in the finals with the Sixers. I probably reached a peak that Ben Simmons, I don't think ever did while playing with the Sixers in just that 1 year. I would even put Jimmy Butler over Ben Simmons.
For half a season?
Yes. I'm putting Jimmy
Butler
over
wasn't
ben
that
Simmons.
Great in the playoffs.
No, he wasn't. Yeah. But like, but that
what,
team.
What, he had like 11 or 12 points in that game seven?
That team that lost to the Raptors, though, now granted, Ben Simmons was on it. But that one, I think, is like the best iteration, or at least...
Well, didn't Jimmy have the breakaway steal to score before the Kawhi shot?
So I think the year they lost to the Hawks was probably the best team, but I don't disagree the Raptors year was...
Lou Will had some fun years here.
Lou Will's a good one. Yeah.
Thaddeus Young deserves some consideration.
I almost had Thaddeus Young.
Thaddeus Young was a good player.
But again, the guys we're talking about here, like when I was doing the Eagles, you could legitimately pick 15 guys.
Yeah.
That would be...
But the
especially
Sixers
over 20.
Is very hard.
Here's a thought I had doing these lists, though. Is Brian Dawkins' stature with the team falling slightly? Because I found myself I would just be like, all right, Dawkins, obviously, right? But then you would look, and now he's a Hall of Fame player. He's an outstanding player. But there are so many Eagles that have rings now. It is harder just to give him a spot.
May I spoil something? I have been getting a lot of the votes from our staff here, right? They're sending me their lists. And you put yours out, and people are sending me their lists, and they're not putting them out. So I'm seeing them all. Brian Dawkins is not on everyone's list.
Yeah.
He's not. And I haven't seen the fan votes yet, but we'll get those at the end of the week. I think he's going to make the top five, but I wouldn't call it a lock.
Well, the other main thing I had in sitting down and doing this, and it was fun to sit down and remember, is we are, without question, living in the golden age of Philly sports.
Yes.
People always get mad at me because when I make these lists, it's always people from 2000 on.
They're better.
This is the best era.
Yeah,
for
it's
sure.
The best era. I think in terms of now the Phillies obviously had won before 2000. Mm-hmm. The Eagles didn't really win anything prior to 2000 in the modern era, at least. The Sixers, you could argue, may be better, but I think just in terms of the Eagles and the Phillies and the Stars, I mean, I think it's not even close.
That era with Dawkins, our guy Hugh, all those guys, they're now like squarely in the second best. Or you could argue even the third if you don't want to put the 2017 team.
So I get your point.
If you don't want to package that with the...
It's interesting.
Because I feel like the 22 and 24 team are very different than the 2017 team.
That.
So you could even argue that's its own era. Then 2004, this might ruffle some feathers here. It just kind of becomes a cute little run.
So only thing I'll say is I think the 2000 to 2004 Eagles were more impressive and better.
Probably.
Than the team.
Yeah,
that,
no.
The Super Bowl team had 1 year, which was obviously outstanding.
17,
but then
yeah.
18, 19, and 20, they were awful.
Yeah. But they won.
Sustained success is what I think is like the most impressive thing to me. And that's what the early 2000 Eagles did. And the
I was just trying
do you
to
want my top five overall?
That.
Or I
yeah.
mean, Friday,
oh, yeah,
I can
yeah,
save it.
No, save it for Friday. We'll do it Friday. You were in with us Friday?
I'm in with you, Friday.
Yes, yes. Sorry.
Okay, yeah.
We'll do that then. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on. And I'm not upset at you. I'm upset at the Sixers that Ben Simmons is
there. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it really is. All right, 215-592-9494. Elliot back with us on Friday. Your Sixers list. Ben Simmons, does he even deserve consideration for the top five Sixers of the last 25 years? And the swing off. Would you be open to it ending real games? It is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, Kyle Quinn in for Hugh today. Luke Nichols behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. It is quarter century week here on the WIP Midday Show. So we just unveiled our top five Sixers of the last quarter century. I went Iverson, Embiid, Iguodala, Drew Holiday, Tyrese Maxey. Elliot Shore Parks put Ben Simmons on his list.
It's pathetic.
It is. Now, look, I'm a little bit annoyed at Elliot. I'm mostly annoyed at the Sixers that they let him down that path. But I think you might be onto something, Kyle, that Ben shouldn't even have consideration.
No. If anything, there should be an empty slot. If you want to just go four, I might be okay with that. So I think I have the same list as Elliot: Iverson, Embiid, Maxey, Iguodala. I put James Harden there.
Harden?
Yeah, Harden.
Playing like 70-something games
here. He won us a game in the Celtics series.
Oh,
Ben
God.
Simmons
then
lost
he also
us.
Quit in game seven.
Well, hold on. What did Ben Simmons do? He quit on the team.
Well, he did.
I mean, Harden going to China and calling Daryl Morey a liar might have been enough for me to just put him on the list in general. Like,
yeah,
that
might,
was a hilarious
might
moment.
Might be the most honest moment of the Sixers last 25 years.
But if you think about it, Harden has a better playoff moment than Ben Simmons ever did.
Well, Ben doesn't have a playoff moment.
Well, he does. It's
well,
just
yeah,
not
right.
a very good one.
I guess his other one is chasing Kawhi into the corner as Kawhi shot the ball over his hand.
Yeah, and the refusing the dunk thing is like one of the most infamous plays in Sixers history.
It might be one of the most infamous plays in NBA history when you think about it. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable.
It was a disgrace.
I remember the still shot of it. Like when you just look at the photo and you're like, that guy had the ball there and didn't try to dunk it.
Yeah, I mean that. Harden showing up to game seven hungover.
Yeah, there's a lot there. There is. All right, would it be crazy to put Ben Simmons on the Sixers quarter century top five? I'm with you. I think it's almost principle more than his accolades, right?
Yeah, like why would we do that to ourselves?
Right, like I understand he made an all-star team or two. Like I understand he was a good player for a 3 or 4 year stretch and then it went bad. But why would you do that?
And it's I don't know what this really speaks to. Because I guess there's fewer players that fill out a Sixers roster. Like, you have a starting five. But the Flyers have had, I mean, shared a very similar amount of success as the Sixers have over the last 25 years. It's way easier to come up with a list of top five Flyers, I would think, than Sixers.
Yeah. Is it because all the Sixers have been disappointing? We wanted more.
Yeah,
we expected
we're just
more.
Angry with them. But, like, I don't know. I think that has to be it. And plus, like I said, there's probably just more Flyers to choose from.
There's also something to how much Iverson really did drag a team to the finals.
Oh,
because
no question.
They have a team that played in the finals in this 25-year period we're talking about. And it's hard to... Like, I know Mutombo was mentioned, but like it's hard to think of another Sixer from that team that... I mean, Elliot's mentioned George Lynch. I mean, like, let's be real here. Like, there's an... And those guys were... He was a good player, and so was Aaron McKee, but they're...
Six man.
Yeah, right. Like, that team was Iverson and a bunch of role players.
Yeah, you're not going Eric Snow. Like, it was tough, because I was like, well, I'll just go back to that era and find a guy to replace Ben Simmons. I couldn't really do that. I mean, you could put Mutombo there if you want. If you want to be petty and leave Ben Simmons off, which I encourage everybody to do. But I'm curious, like, if you're not going to put Ben Simmons on, who would you go to?
I know.
I think I had to go with Harden.
215-592-9494. Your top five Sixers of the last 25 years. It is quarter century week. And, of course, the Schwarber thing. And last night with the swing off, I would be open to seeing it in a real game. I never thought I would say that. I feel like I'm becoming this, like, new school guy who wants to see all these new things. But I'd be open to it. Kyle, I feel like you're hating it more as the show goes along.
Yeah, I'm transitioning into the biggest baseball guy on the show. I think that's becoming very clear. I mean, don't ruin my sport. What was Harper saying about the pitch clock? We want our game back?
Yeah, now everyone's fine with it.
Yeah, well,
now we can't imagine baseball without it.
I don't know if they're fine with it. If you, again, there's endorsing it and begrudgingly accepting it. I've begrudgingly accepted it.
But isn't that every change in sports? We kind of like, and then we get there.
But we're back to the turd analogy. I'm forced to eat the turd. I'm not going to not watch baseball. That doesn't mean it doesn't taste like a turd.
Yeah, well, that's
tastes like a turd.
But eventually, you just got to deal with it. All right, would you be open to ending a real MLB game with Home Run Derby? I'm actually a little surprised at the voting. I expected today on this, on our poll question, it to be like 90-10 no. I expected most people to be like, come on, that's Mickey Mouse.
I'm surprised at the Twitter people I could actually see being more in favor of it.
73% no, 27% yes so far.
It's the callers I'm more surprised at. I'm surprised we even got one saying do it.
Well, they like fun. Oh, you see this, Luke? They like fun.
Now, what if they put this in, and instead of being able to pick who you got, it was just the next three in the lineup? So say nine innings ends, you go into the swing-off, and then you had 7-8-9 do up, or the Mets had 1-2-3, or vice versa.
So Stott, Marsh, Rojas.
Yep.
Yeah, we could just end the game right there.
Lindor, Soto, and Alonso.
Can we forfeit?
I guess there could be some strategy to that, too, though. Like, think about it. Like, all right,
so do you play for the tie or something?
Or like, in a sense, do you play for the tie? Do you almost get yourself picked off to end an inning so the next run is your guys? Mm. I mean, you probably wouldn't because you don't want to.
Yeah. But now we're watering this one. Like, that would be such a joke. If somebody's getting intentionally thrown
extra
out at
innings
second.
They start extra innings with a runner on second base. We've already transitioned to joke status.
But it's not like that's so much closer to what baseball is than what this crap would be. And now you got me calling it crap. I had a lot of fun last night.
See, now it didn't sound like you did.
And now I have to hate the whole thing.
You know what? Also, and this is meanwhile, I'm over here comparing Drew Holiday to Ben Simmons because I really think Drew Holiday is a better player than Ben Simmons. It should be on the list. Let's go to Aaron in San Diego, and then we got to give you a second clue for Q's Clues. What's up, Aaron?
Good morning, Philadelphia.
Good morning, Aaron.
Hey, I've got a top five list of my own that I just came up with.
Okay.
If you have a minute. Mm-hmm. So it's the top five producers. So number five is Adam. Number four is Buzz.
Who's Adam?
Number three is James Seltzer.
I can see where this is going.
Number two is Francisco. And number one, my man, Luke.
Wow, that's Luke got to number
list.
One.
I love that.
First, a couple thoughts off the jump. Kyle not on the list is a good take or an interesting take.
We have beef.
You're gonna make you
it's
upset.
Personal.
Yep. But the other one, I gotta say, it feels a little high for Fran. I love Fran. Fran at two?
Wow. Also, who is Adam?
We don't have an Adam.
We don't have
you
an
know
Adam.
What, Joe?
You
hey,
made
you know
that
what,
up.
Joe? You know what, Joe?
What's that?
The first three are so inviting and so warm when you call them. They're asking you how your day was going. It's just a pleasant conversation you have. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, I've never had a chance to talk to Buzz, and I don't even know if Adam exists.
Adam's not
he
real.
Doesn't. We
every
don't have
time
an Adam.
I think of Kyle and Jack Fritz, I got to throw open my mouth a little bit.
Well, but you see what happens, Aaron, when I'm not back there. You're completely off the rails, talking about nonsense that nobody really else cares about. You made up a guy
Kyle.
Named Adam. Do you have anything
Kyle,
on the swing
I've
off?
Got a,
do you have anything
Kyle.
On the top five list, Adam?
You
and
know,
I see you there in the
you
YouTube
have,
chat,
Kyle.
Buddy. I'm surprised you even called in after what you were saying.
Kyle, here's what I do have is I started listening this morning, and I started recording the broadcast because what I'm going to do is I'm going to use it as a sleep aid tonight when I need to fall asleep. Mm. You got to come with more energy. You got to come with more fire.
What are you talking about? I'm sorry I don't start every show off with good morning, Philadelphia. Shut up.
No, you came off with, hey, should we do the home run derby in MLB?
That's not what I said.
Hold on a second. Are you a media critic or caller, Aaron? What do you got for us today?
No, here's I want a piece of you too, Giglio, today.
Okay.
Because did I hear you say that if you were a GM, you would take the kid from you keep Herbert or oh God, what's the guy from Detroit? What's his name?
So no, Goff. What I said was I agreed with Elliot that if there was a redraft of quarterbacks today, like the actual GMs were making the picks. Herbert would go ahead of Hurts. I believe that.
No way. So you're telling me
he absolutely would.
With
he would.
Know, with what we know, with what we know,
with what we've seen on the teams they're on. Yes, that's
you're telling me that if they went back and drafted players, you're telling me that these people would be taken before Hurts.
Well, Herbert would. I don't believe Goff would. He's older, and I think the mobility of Hurts and the longevity, Hurts would go above Goff. I believe Hurts would go above Stafford because Stafford's 37 years old. But if they're starting teams today and you tell me every GM has every pick of every player, I think Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar, Herbert, Daniels all go above Hurts.
Hey, guess what? That's why the Cincinnati Bengals are the Cincinnati Bengals. The Buffalo Bills are the Buffalo Bills.
What does that even mean?
The Chargers are the Chargers.
The only reason those teams are good is because of the quarterbacks.
The winning aspect of it.
Do you realize what the Bengals were before Burrow got there? Joe Burrow took the Bengals to the Super Bowl. Like, that's like walking on water. Do you realize how hard that is?
Guess what, Joe? Joe, if Burrows is on the Eagles, he's thrown for 200 and 250 yards.
Call him Burrows?
If Allen is on the Eagles, he's throwing for 250 yards.
Definitely.
Maybe, but they're also winning the Super Bowl.
Running the ball is the most important thing. It manages the clock. It manages turnovers.
Let me ask you a question, Aaron. Do you think the Eagles were dumb until week four? Like, the Eagles that we all know are the best team.
Okay, that's another point, Joe.
No.
Joe,
Stop.
Joe,
you think the Eagles? You think the Eagles looked at their team and they didn't know what they had until week four, or they said, "Hey, Jalen's not really playing that well. We got to lean on the running game." Like, you think they didn't realize what Saquon Barkley was and this offensive line was before week six?
No, what I think, Joe, is that they used the first 4 weeks to experiment with the offense. Mm. Find out what works and what doesn't
work.
And by week five, they already had their offense in place, and they were ready to rock and roll.
Hmm.
Now they went on a winning streak.
This is amazing.
Why did they lose that game to Washington?
Because the defense was horrendous. Jaden Daniels threw five touchdowns.
Because Jalen went down with an injury.
They scored on the field. You know they scored in the 30s, right? Their defense was like the one time their defense didn't play well.
Right, because we weren't able to control the clock with Pickett. He's not the same quarterback as Hurts.
Well, everyone knows that. Kenny Pickett is barely a Brown.
Yeah, the bar is Kenny Pickett.
Here's the breaking news for everybody out there. You can expect the first 4 weeks of this season to be just like the ones last season and the season before that, because the teams are going to experiment. They're bringing in a brand new offensive coordinator. They're going to see what works. They already know that they've got Saquon and they've got the offensive line. So just expect us to be our heads popping off the top of our heads, because they're going to try different things.
But if the passing game works better in September this year, you think they're going to stop throwing the football?
No, but I think that what they'll do is they'll have a happy medium. Because you got
right,
you guys
if they throw it better, do you think they'll throw it more?
Yes, they'll throw it.
So they want to throw it more. They want, if they have it their way, they'll throw it more.
I think they want to do whatever is going to
They want to throw it more. Here's what drives me crazy about this. It's basic math. What do you get more yards every time you do, throw or run?
Well, I don't know. Do you?
Well, I know, Aaron. Even with Saquon Barkley, Saquon averaged about 5.5 yards a carry. Jalen averaged about 8 yards an attempt. And yet they still threw the ball less than anybody else. Why?
Because their running game is a freaking machine. Do you think the Detroit Lions would have chosen to throw the ball at the end of last season, or do you think they would rather have run it down teams' throats? They had to throw the ball because they had to score points.
Right. They had Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery.
What's that? Their defense was so bad.
Their
offense was their only weapon that they had.
Yeah, I just don't understand the point on why Jalen's better than Joe Burrow. Like, I don't get it.
Because he's a winner, dude.
He's not.
Go watch this QB season on Netflix.
Aaron, if Josh Sweat won the MVP of the Super Bowl last year, is he the best defensive end in football? He's just a winner, right?
Who, Joe Burrow?
Yeah, Joe Burrow. Thanks for listening.
If Josh Sweat won the MVP of the Super Bowl, is he the best pass rusher in the NFL?
No.
Then it's the same thing, Aaron. Don't you understand what you're saying?
Your logic is just moronic, dude. Drop it.
Could Joe Burrow or Allen or Jackson put a ball on Devontae Smith like Hurts did?
Yes.
What are you talking about?
They do it every week, those guys. They're great players.
Dude, you guys beat this guy up about his accuracy, and then he throws dimes.
You called in to talk about him, first of all.
And then he throws the ball 60 yards
I don't know if I've ever criticized his accuracy. I think Jalen's accurate. I think he throws a beautiful deep ball. I think what drives me crazy is they're overrating him for no reason. Just be happy we have the fifth or sixth best quarterback in pro football.
That's not enough.
Why does he have to be the number one guy when he's obviously not? Doesn't it stand out to you, Aaron, that GMs and coaches and executives have him ninth and you have him first? Who do you think is probably more accurate in that?
I think I'm more accurate.
Okay. Yeah, well, right. Then, yeah. Well, I appreciate the stubbornness.
GMs have mediocre teams because they're not looking for the intangibles, which are the mental outlook, the winning mentality, the locker room presence.
Took 7 sacks in
all that. Yeah. They just simply look at arm talent.
All right.
Do you think Joe Burrow would have won the Super Bowl with the Eagles last year?
Yes!
Without question.
No.
Get him out of here, dude. I can't take this.
Without question.
He's the worst. Aaron is the worst. I can't do it.
I need to take a timeout here. I need a timeout for my own stuff. All right, Kyle, why don't you give everyone, now that Aaron just did that to us, why don't you give everyone a second clue? We have a great prize to give away today. As much as I am ready to crumble up all the papers in front of me and throw them away and walk out, we have a pair of tickets to see the Phillies and the Red Sox Tuesday, July 22nd, 6:45. It is Y2K Retro Night, celebrating the year 2000. Ike Reese, along with John LeClair. Every time I read this, I laugh. I love all these guys, but it's just funny. John LeClair, Mark Jackson, and Ike Reese will be changing a base during the third inning. There's a Nelly concert after the game. All right. First clue today for Q's clues was?
He was an Eagle of the last quarter century.
All right. Now, clue number two.
Yeah. All right. When we workshopped this in the meeting, I thought it was funny. The more I think about it, the more cruel I think it is to say it this way. So he was here with the Eagles for three Eagles coaches. He spanned three Eagles coaches and that does not include one interim coach. So I was going to say four Eagles coaches.
Yeah, but that's cruel.
Very cruel. He spanned three Eagles coaches.
Okay.
Including, or not including an interim coach.
Okay. So he spanned three long-term Eagles coaches.
Yes.
Guys that
so
were here
for
some time.
A good while. And now that also gives you a little bit of a timeline, I would think.
This is the clue, really. It's not a player that was here for 10 minutes, right? This guy was here for three different coaches. All right. That's clue number two. Let's go to John at Cherry Hill. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, John. What's up?
Good. Just want to put my take in on that home run derby to finish the game.
Yeah. What do you think?
Honestly, I'd be for it, but like I would do it. Even honestly, I hate the slog of like 18 plus inning games. It gets really boring real quick for me.
Mm-hmm.
So like a set, like I don't know, like 4 or 5 innings, and then if it's still tied, I would go to the home run derby after that.
So I am, John, I thought about that like if it ever actually becomes a thing in Major League Baseball, I think the way you framed it could end up being how they do it. Like they do the ghost runner or whatever you call it, Manfred runner for like, I don't know, 10th, 11th, 12th. So let's just use that as a kind of a time frame. And then if nobody had won the game through 11 or 12 innings, then they go to the swing-off. John, if it ever happens, I think that might be the way it works.
Yeah, I think it'd be like the most fair way. And honestly, it'd be like an exciting addition to baseball.
I think it would be, too. I thought last night, and I expected not to like it because I was like, oh, really? We're doing a swing-off? That's kind of, it's not baseball. And then I watched it happen, and I watched Schwarber win, and I was like, this is cool. This is awesome. It got my attention to where typically at that point, I'm probably rolling my eyes at the All-Star game. John, what do you got for us? What's your guess for Q's Clues?
Yeah, I guess, he's been here the past, since the 2000s and three head coaches?
Yes.
Jason Kelce?
Jason Kelce is a good guess. It's not it. But that works. I mean, yeah. Kelce was here for Reed. Actually, Kelce was here for four coaches, right?
He fits the criteria.
Yeah,
I appreciate him listening.
Man, Jason Kelce spanned four coaches. Mm-hmm. That's a long time.
That is a lot. And I'm not going to blame the students when they get the wrong guesses like Hugh.
Yeah, well, this is usually the time of the show where Hugh is blaming all of the students.
I will take full accountability.
Yep.
But I think it's going well so far.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. Once we get to, if no one wins by 1 o'clock, that's when the pressure tightens on the person giving the clues.
Yeah,
you start feeling the pressure a little bit. Will in the Northeast is up. Hey, Will.
Gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
Good, Will. What's up?
All right. Listen, man, you know, like I said, man, when we're talking about Jalen Hurts, man, I just want to say this, man. Like, this guy has been the most hardest working Eagle and most improving Eagle, bro. Like, he did exactly what I said that the Eagles and what our baseball team needs to do is look at them tapes with the last time y'all walked off the field. You know what I mean? When y'all was in the World Series. You know what I'm saying? And look at that feeling. And that's what Jalen did. And I said that before Jalen even brought that up, right? That is something that will motivate you. Jalen Hurts has been the type of quarterback that, you know what, he said, listen, I'm going to step back and I'm going to let what we need to get done, be done. And he said, if Saquon coming in, if we need to pound the run, and that's something that I said early in the season, you could play back the tapes too, right? And I said, I wanted Derrick Henry here, but y'all picked Saquon. You know what I'm saying? And you know we had that argument. But,
and it hasn't been dropped.
And you were wrong.
Right. And I was right. And Derrick Henry will have the – listen – Derrick Henry was about to. I ain't gonna.
They're both great. I mean, they're both great.
You lost.
But I'm gonna keep it. I'm gonna keep it with Jalen.
Okay.
But Jalen, I'm going front, man. Jalen has done what no other quarterback has done, man. He went through all these different offensive coordinators, and he made sure that he got better. Whatever it takes to win, and that's what he did, and that's what he done for this Super Bowl season, and he's going to do it again. But what I want to say about Jalen, man, he's dedicated. And one thing I want to say, you got to know your players, right, as far as a coach, right? And Sirianni, he bonded with the players. He got to know them, and he knew what they could do. And he knew the proper pieces to bring in as far as the defense to make us get over that edge.
Well, Will, I'll say this about Sirianni. It was the best thing he's done in two of his years is flip the offense during the season. I mean, he recognized what they had, where their strength was.
Right.
It got them to the playoffs in 21, and it won them the Super Bowl last year. Will, give us a guess here. Q's clues. Who is he talking about?
Oh, man. I don't know, man. But I'm going to go with Deuce Staley.
Staley. I don't believe he spanned that many coaches, but he certainly was here in the time span we're talking about. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop board. We'll come back your calls on all of this. Sixers top five. Is it crazy to have Ben Simmons on the top five Sixers for the last 25 years? We think it is. Elliot had him there. What's your Sixers top five? The swing off. Would it be a way you'd be okay ending real games? And something else happened in the All-Star game last night. We're going to see in Major League Baseball very soon. We'll react to that next. Your calls, Q's, clues as well. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.